Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Come as you are, indeed. Quite the party, the degeneration of this sovereign republic, the United States, by globalist parasite, communist, and Zionist attack. The two slices of the satanic kosher sandwich now efforting and in large part succeeding to bring down the United States as a sovereign republic. Hello, everyone. I'm Giuseppe Vaffangulo. The good professor, Dr. Jim Fetzer, is supposed to be hosting this show. I'm producing for his regular producer, Mitchell Bupp, who has internet problems, and I'm trying to bring Jim in into the Revolution Radio Studio B worldwide broadcast, but he's not answering. And he has, I do know for a fact, been having lots of computer problems the last week or so as the deep state seeks to frustrate what many consider the most dangerous mind on the internet for truth and conspiracy. And is there any difference these days between truth and conspiracy? Absolutely not. In fact, if you are called a conspiracy theorist, you are actually being getting a compliment from the normie, the sheeple, the gaslighting globalist types who want to marginalize you, but you better take that as a compliment, because it means you're a truth seeker, you're being honest, and all we are these days is living in clown world, if you want to mix metaphors. We've stepped through the looking glass with the brilliant Lewis B. Carroll book, Alice Through the Looking Glass, and we've stepped through the looking glass into an insane clown world where a handful of Talmudic satanic parasites, a cult, a death cult that has been quietly in power for 6,000 years since the time of Sumeria and Babylon, that literally is a Talmudic Babylonian death cult that worships the darkest of evil, which the Christians call Satan, and the various other religions have other titles for the absolute evil that can so control this realm. And so, yeah, it's dark days. It's really dark days. And it's so sad because so many patriots, real Americans, populists, nationalists got out there and they went and voted. And then the ridiculous, ridiculous lying notion that, there's millions of scaredy cats so afraid of the common cold. This corona COVID-19 scam is the greatest mind rape, the greatest psychological operation in the history of mankind. And the normies, the Trump derangement system types, the mentally deficient types, the liberal who cares so much through their Disney controlled heart, you know, and by that I mean like when you watched Bambi and you got so sad because when Bambi's mother got killed, and that's the level of simplicity with these idiots who think that, oh, Black Lives Matter and those violent, murderous thugs and rapists, they don't deserve to be held to the same laws that we've obeyed our entire life. And, oh, it's racism. It's racism when you want a violent black thug to be arrested and taken and put behind bars for 10 or 20 years because he raped a little girl or he beat to death an old white man, which is going on with insane amount of frequency these days. And because the globalist mind rapists have convinced these mouth breathers that it's all the fault of the Whitey. You know, Whitey did it, and Whitey's at play, and blame Whitey, when the ridiculous nature of it is that for the last 110 years, the Zionists are like a cancer that have entered the American existence and cancer metastasizes and grows. Now these dual citizen traders, these globalist Wall Street international banking parasites have literally taken over the country. As Dr. Cynthia McKinney has observed during her terms in the House of Representatives, that the AIPAC, Israel, forced every elected official, be it a congressman or a senator, to sign a pledge of loyalty to Israel. And let's face it, Israel is the most despicable, the most evil country, the most terrorist country, and the most racist country on the planet, bar none. I mean, literally, bar none. And so do you know that Israel had a minister for Israel? There's a bunch of African Jews who really are devoted Jews, and they're black Africans. And they went to Israel seeking refuge because, you know, the two-faced Zionist liars talk about how, oh, it's for all Jews, Israel. But in reality, what they did is they gave the black African Jews some type of dose of radiation to sterilize them all. This is how absolute evil that country is. And why is it absolute evil? Because the Satanists that control the banking world, the Rothschilds, Israel is their retail shop of operations. I mean, there's, and the whole world kowtows to them because all the leaders are either controlled by blackmail pictures of them fornicating with 8-year-old boys, or else they're bought off, literally bought off. Short of pedophiles, the next most despicable subhuman on the face of the earth is a national politician. It's just, you know, you can probably count on the fingers of one hand any type of politician in any national stage in any country who isn't a despicable traitor to their country. I mean, I can think of Jim Jordan out of Texas is a pretty sharp guy, and I respect him. And other than that, there's probably one or two more, but I'm probably going to have a finger left, one or two fingers left. And so I continue to seek to add Dr. Jim Fetzer, and I continue to have nothing happen. So I know he wanted to interview Jack Mullen. You know what? Let's see. You know, let's just take a chance and see if old Jack Mullen, I have his Twitter thing. Let's see if I can get Jack Mullen and I can have a little chit chat with good old Jack. So it's so despicable. I mean, literally, the United States, if this Biden installation by these globalist parasites stands, is no more than a globalist shithole, third world style. And why is that? Because every one of the globalist shitheads, the globalist shitholes we know, install puppet leaders. And so once again, I can't get, but let's see about Jack Mullen. I mean, Jack's a real sharp guy. I'd be very interested to get his thoughts on some of these things. And so Jack Mullen is unavailable. You know what? Let me try my partner in so many shows, David Scorpio. Should we surprise Scorpio and see if he's available? I don't know that he is. This is what you call winging it. And that's fine. If it's just me, you listen to, I'm honored that you take the time. Everybody's unavailable. Am I even on the air? I should take a look. I should take a look at the Revolution Radio and take a quick check of, I'm pretty sure I'm on the air. Let's see. Yep, I'm there. I heard myself. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We tried. Well, we'll keep trying Professor Fetzer. And then we'll try Jack Mullen again in a little bit. And maybe they all defected to Fox News Radio under the new regime. That would be the day, right? That would be a great day to get Jim Fetzer, Jack Mullen, and David Scorpio on a national platform. Man, that would be a great day for America. And not coming anytime soon. That's why we're at Revolution Radio. By the way, Revolution Radio, for a decade, started by the great Mike Ringley, Nighthawk, who just died a year ago. What an amazing guy he was. If you ever get a chance, go to the website and listen to some of his music. I'm a singer-songwriter of 30 years and have had a modest success, especially with airplay in Europe. In fact, in the last year, I've had 3 singles make it into the top 50 in the European independent music chart. In Europe, they have lots of stations that play independence, not like here in America where no radio play is ever achieved except if you're with a label. But there, you know, they like to have independent music, and a lot of these radio stations in Europe will dedicate hours on the weekend or at night to indie shows. And so I've had 3 songs. One's called Tragic Innocence, one's called Dragonfly, about when my mother died and the mystical experience that I had, and one called Kintsukuroi, which is Kintsukuroi is the Japanese art where it's really a beautiful thing. It's Kintsukuroi means now more beautiful for having been broken. And, you know, with the tea ceremony, and there's so many beautiful rituals in classic Japanese culture that Kintsukuroi, if you break like a tea ceremony pot or a high art vase, these artisans will take each piece and lovingly, painstakingly take actual gold powder, actual silver powder, combine it with lacquer, and put the whole bowl or teapot together exactly sealed so it can be used. And there's all these beautiful scars, golden scars or silver scars. And that's what Kintsukuri stands for. And so I thought, what a just a heart moving metaphor for life in this ugly world, when if you have the courage to heal a broken heart and love again. So that's what Kintsukuri is about. In fact, that one got the highest. That one got the number 23 in the European independent music chart. Dragonfly got to in the 30s, and I thought Tragic Innocence would go higher, but it got to number 47, and that was that. So, but anyway, if you're curious to hear these songs, my website, my musical alter ego, Lumen, Lumen, Jingos, Jingos, lumenjingos.com. And there's links there to, you can hear it on Bandcamp, or all my stuff is on all the biggies, Amazon, iTunes, you name it, Spotify, SoundCloud, it's everywhere. So yeah, check them out. They're true independent music. I do it all myself, except finally with Tragic Innocence, I was able to find affordable studio musicians. So I'm really grateful for that. But that's how did I even get out of that? That's funny. Well, we're just freeforming it. If anybody wants to call in and join the chit chat, look me up on Skype, which is Giuseppe, Giuseppe, Vafangulo, Vafanculo, or 703-879-8880, and would welcome discussion, although, you know, I'm fine with chit-chatting, but at some point we got to get somebody to talk to. So would you like to join me? That would be very cool if you would. So getting back to the Biden thing, that's just so shockingly outrageous they installed Biden. And here is the Hegelian dialectic that's going on here, right? So the globalists, the Great Reset, the New Normal, Build Back Better, these globalist parasites are Satanists. They absolutely see you as cattle. They call you goyim. They think of you as the vile Zionist Henry Kissinger has described, useless feeders. And he's also described soldiers in the military as stupid sides of beef. I'm paraphrasing. I don't have that quote memorized, but stupid pawns to be sacrificed for the greater glory of Israel and the banks, the central banks. You know, the sad fact, the absolute sad fact, that if we actually had leadership, is very simple, very simple. Could solve so many things. We have the greatest military the world has ever seen. You know, it's pretty good. And we're wasting it all serving these satanic bankers. Why doesn't the military hunt down and sanction all these satanic bankers? And we back our treasury's dollar with the full might and faith of the U.S. military, instead of doing it for these low-life satanic parasites? Why don't we do it for the good people of the United States? It would take nothing. You know, they're like, oh man, if, you know, the Satanists, the banksters would definitely try and sabotage that. But if they're fleeing for their lives and trying to get to their bunkers in New Zealand, and the military is cutting off all options for them, and at the same time, you know, instead of these weak-minded, mentally entrained Trump derangement syndrome buffoons getting out in the streets and throwing firecrackers for Groper Joe Biden and the satanic succubus Kamala Harris, you would think that they would be way happier to bring the dollar back to the people and at the same time install our own manufacturing, our own real economy, and, you know, a big push for hemp, a big push for eliminate all vaccines, take away the 1986 absolute evil indemnification of the vaccine industry, what Big Pharma calls their biologics, and let them be sued out of business. And what would grow out of that would be a safe inoculation, if there is such a thing. And by the way, don't believe the utter gaslighting bullshit. Oh, cool. Dean wants to join. That sounds great, Dean. I'll add you here. The absolute bullshit about this COVID-19 and the vaccine. The coronavirus is a common cold. It's omnipresent. It's ubiquitous in nature. It is absolutely everywhere. And that's part of the great plan. There's a brilliant young man, Dr. Zach Bush, and he has pointed out, because he's done every part of Western medicine, from the birthing of children to hospice care. And he has come to understand and love nature and love humans in harmony with nature. You know, the real path of humans, if humans weren't so enslaved and entranced by the satanic elites, would be to have a functional pantheism, you know, being the shepherds, being in harmony with nature. And you could do that really easily with millions of acres of hemp and migrating from petrochemicals to hemp plastics and hemp cloth. And hemp is a gift from God, just like cannabis is a gift from God when it comes to medicinals. You know, you don't need to be all, let's get high all the time, man. It doesn't need to be that. If you take out the THC, which is what makes you high, you get CBD, cannabidiol oil, which is just an amazing healing oil and so good for the human body. How do I know? In addition to being a singer-songwriter, I am also a doctor of oriental medicine for the last 15 years. I graduated summa cum laude from one of the top five oriental medicine colleges in the United States, the Midwest College of Oriental Medicine. And then I took my national boards, just like the corporate doctors do. And I'm now licensed in two states, Wisconsin and Virginia. And I practice under the same type of legal framework that they do. And so, except I practice in a holistic medicine, a triangle, a perfect triangle. That's where I got the idea for my show on Revolution Radio Studio A, Friday night, 6 to 8 p.m., the perfect triangle. A perfect triangle of body, mind, and spirit. And so, with that being said, let's add our good friend and host, Dean, from I think he's in the UK, unless he's a expat to New Zealand or Australia. We'll ask him where he is. And let's see. Is Dean going to answer? There he is. All right, Dean, welcome to The Raw Deal with your pinch hit host, Giuseppe Vaffangulo. How are you today, Dean?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
That's great. Thanks, Dean, are you actually in the UK or are you an expat in Australia?
Oh, I'm in England.
Oh, okay. There you go. England. There you go. So I am stunned at the absolute Orwellian Stalinistic totalitarianism they're trying to hammer the English population right now. What's going on there and what are your thoughts? Are people gonna fight back and not accept it?
Well, the government has gone so far down the line that really you either would wait it out or in vain go and protest. I mean, unfortunately, modern, as I call it, multicultural Britain, and I say it in a sarky way, and when I use that title, I'm not necessarily referring to just the fact of multiculturalism, but I kind of use it as a slur against my own nation, a modern iteration of my own nation. Uh-huh. It essentially fails. people power in modern times. I mean, simply look at the protests and the number of attendance of the protests over the illegal war in Iraq. It was completely powerless or worthless. People power just does not work anymore, unfortunately. I mean, I hate to be a sort of negative ninny, but that's the way it seems to go. The only thing we can do is via a long drawn out, very tiring battle at the political level with back and forth, do sometimes the establishment give in the case of, and I would cite the vote to leave or stay in the European Union, that purely came back about by political pressure in long debate over a long period of time, and they basically fought, they took the gamble, the government, the tyrannical government, took the gamble of getting us to vote and trying getting us to stay in, and therefore essentially shooting ourselves in the head with it. No, but, well, you asked us to stay in, didn't you? So we'll never bring that up again. Yeah, I mean, the only time I've ever seen anything positive has been Parliament deciding not to get too involved in Syria recently. So as for COVID, there's no chance. And even with the knowledge that within our own country, we've had dodgy computer models come out about the disease and all the various charts and unclear messaging out of the government has meant for nothing. Criticism is just daily hot air out on the airwaves. It has no real effect.
Well, Dean, going back to a statement you made a moment or two ago about slamming your countrymates for tolerating multiculturalism, do you believe that taking in so many African refugees and Middle Eastern refugees was a heartfelt gesture by the Brits, or was it part of a very sinister agenda? And we'll get Dean's answer right after the break. Thanks for listening to The Raw Deal with Jim Fetzer.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back to The Raw Deal with Professor Jim Fetzer. Unfortunately, the professor is unavailable. I'm not quite sure why. Probably computer problems. And I'm here pinch-hitting. I'm Giuseppe Vaffangulo, a fellow Revolutionary Radio host with my shows, The Perfect Triangle. And then I co-host with Scorpio on Operation Scorpio, Saturdays 1 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Studio A, and then we've recently taken over and rebranded another show Wednesdays, The Wisdom Circle, on Studio A, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern, and we welcome you to call in to all our shows. We love discussion. In fact, glad fellow host Dean Metcalf from England has joined in, and at the bottom of the hour break, I was about to ask Dean if he believed the forced combination of absolute alien cultures, the African, the Middle Eastern, into England, much like trying to blend oil and water, they will never, ever blend together. Dean, do you believe this is some noble act by a fading empire? Do you think there's a malevolent aspect to flooding England with Africans and Arabs?
Well, firstly, the modern United Kingdom is not a fading empire. It is not an empire. It is gone. Secondly, yes, I'll also make this claim that is very difficult to actually bring out as a conversation in short form. I will try, but I will apologize if I kind of butcher the attempt at putting over what I'm about to say. And what I'm about to say is this: modern multicultural Britain, or the United Kingdom, has the most sophisticated social engineering done to it on planet Earth, beyond that of the People's Republic of China and any other country you wish to list.
Okay.
When you make that claim, of course, you have to explain it or try and back it up. And to answer your question, It is malevolent, yes. It's broader than what the way you've stated it. It also uses Middle Asian countries, many of which are Islamic, not all are Islamic, in the mix of what you're describing. This is not the person speaking to you that is blaming, as we would call, Johnny Foreigner. It is not necessarily about any one nation of immigrants or any one country. What has been done is that since 1997, countries have been selected that are disproportionately obscene in their statistics in crime, rape, murder, radicalism within their domestic borders. And they are unusually and unrelated to geography, as in near distance to the islands that make up the United Kingdom, represented in the population of migrants in the United Kingdom. They have been selected. Whether illegal immigrants allowed to come in from certain countries or legal immigrants. Now, where the social engineering comes into play, I will give you three examples and I'll stop there. Otherwise, this will become, as I said, a very unwieldy monologue. I will give you three examples of the complexity. One is that these people have been drip-fed in since the 50s in small numbers when the United Kingdom had to rebuild after World War II and certain migrant labour was chosen to help rebuild it. These were relatively small numbers, but it allowed a small foothold. It was a choice. They were not given rebuilding like, say, Japan or Germany. Later on from then, all the way forward to 1997 onwards, with the Blair Brown and future leaders on any party, which follows their agenda now, unfortunately, and they set the precedent, the various groups are brought in multi-generationally, and they are allowed to sustainably be here, as in the economy and the social structure support allows them to stay in here and clearly transfer money and also bring in others under applications at ease over the years, if you take it on that way. Secondly, they have been emboldened in the media. What I mean emboldened is that they are all seen through the media commentary as harder working than the natives, very successful, you must praise them. And any unusual, well, hang on a minute, how did they get the money to start up those businesses and come here if they're so misfortunate, is hidden from the public and it's brushed over. It's sort of airbrushed out. On top of that, they use dragnet tactics, meaning, if you choose, say, a country like India, if you drag net enough people in and you get them to live in the inner cities, you'll eventually get rotten apples in the dragnet, which is what they want. You can change it by dragnetting in based on various stats from the different countries. Then with that on top of it, they make sure that these people are settled in places where the transport links are good, while other transport links are decayed. One example would be the high-speed rail system, HS2, which is going from Birmingham, which is heavily migrant population, to London, which is ever-growing heavily migrant population, where it is so out of kilter with the train system of anywhere else in the country. To give you an example, that for the price of the high-speed rail system between Birmingham and London, you could take every single person in Manchester and actually buy them an executive saloon car, brand new.
Wow.
The last thing they do is the de-skilling, upskilling technique. They de-skill the local populace while creating an ever-widening rich-poor education gap, particularly on working class white males in the entire nation. And these stats have recently come out again, so they're very recent, to show that actually the most underprivileged people in the United Kingdom are actually white working class.
Well, look who's here.
Hello, Jim.
Giuseppe, I lost an hour today. It's just insane. I was invited to guest host on the Power Hour, which has a huge audience, like Revolution Radio. Uh-huh. And I was just so pleased. And I had James McCanney as my guest. And I brought in Scott Bennett for a segment, the third segment of the two-hour show. And everything got pushed back. And I got 1 hour off and making connections. I'm so pleased. Once I realized just now what had happened, I was confident you had taken the reins and were manning everything properly. I'm delighted that you were able to step in to host in lieu of Mitchell. So tell me, where do things stand?
Well, we were just Dean from the UK has joined in. I tried your intended guest, Jack Mullen, but he didn't answer on Skype. So Dean wonderfully has joined in, and we were having a discussion, and Dean was laying out my question to him was, in England and the United Kingdom, you know, trying to force in the African and the Middle Eastern Islamic populations into England, especially, is like mixing oil and water. It'll never blend. And where I was leading, he was given a fascinating answer about how they're going about this since the 90s. And then I was going to lead into it's essentially the color revolution. And now the same thing is being done here in the United States. So leading up to the conclusion, which is the installed illegal presidency of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So we were about to get to how the United States is essentially 10 to 15 years behind Britain in the forced oil and water blending at the governmental level for the United States. Cause we've always had different cultures, and it's been really cool up until about 30 years ago when the melting pot started to get really ugly because people, immigrants don't want to learn English all of a sudden. You know, they want their language, which is absolute horseshit. You come to America, you learn to be an American just like for 200 years everybody did. But no, all of a sudden, we can't do that. We have to cater to these people. And so we're essentially, my belief is we're essentially 20 years behind England and just having society destroyed.
Well, Giuseppe, I agree with you that there should be a national language, that anyone who immigrates to the United States should learn English. It's indispensable to communicate with your fellow citizens, to cooperate, to attain common goals. And therefore, it's really, in my opinion, an indispensable element of having a society that qualifies as a nation, that there should be a single language. It's fine if others have second or third languages, but the idea of allowing enclaves where one could be born, live a whole life, and die and never speak a word of English, as is the case in Little Havana, among other areas, seems to me antithetical to the idea of a United States of America. I want to point out, if you haven't already addressed it, that this election is far from over. We're receiving massive propaganda from the mainstream that has no basis in law or fact, that in fact there are lawsuits filed in 7 key battleground states, which means that with those lawsuits pending, they cannot certify either Biden or Trump. Those include Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia, North Carolina, and Pennsylvania, which represent 94 electoral votes, which are still in play. So anyone who's hearing a report from any source telling you the election's over, Joe Biden's been declared president, is giving you information based upon their own misunderstanding, of which there is a boundless amount out here because so many Americans are gullible. They believe whatever they're told by the mainstream, or a deliberate misrepresentation of the truth, because the fact of the matter is this is far from over and the real issues are yet to come.
I absolutely believe that's a possible scenario. I mean, to me, it seems like this is a monstrous power play by the globalists mocking people like us who see what they're doing, because the great, great, you know, America, United States lost its magnificent hundreds of millions of herd of buffalo and bison, and they've been replaced by Bubis Americanus, the weak-minded normie sheeple who believes anything the media tells them. And so, I don't know, man. I hope you're right, but I got to say, I don't see how it's going to happen.
Giuseppe, I'm reporting just a fact of the matter about the status quo. I'm not predicting the outcome. I'm saying that in those seven states, lawsuits have been filed. That means they cannot certify either Biden or Trump as the victor, which means those 94 electoral votes are in play. No one has been elected president of the United States at this point in time.
Right,
and
absolutely right.
And anyone draws the conclusion that is the case is mistaken, and some of the mistakes are being propagated, the false information that the race has been settled by the mainstream media, which is aiding in fomenting a coup against the United States and its duly elected president.
Wow, right.
This is a fact of the matter. This is nothing to do with how it's going to play out, where I do believe that Donald Trump will prove to have been reelected president by a substantial margin. But the point I'm making is different, Giuseppe, is that you cannot claim that the election has been called for Biden because there are 94 electoral votes that are in play because of lawsuits filed that make it not legally possible to certify one or the other as the victor in those states.
Excellent point, Jim. I'm just watching Joe Biden claim victory. I'm watching him congratulated by every leader, especially the backstabbing BB nutty a-hole as Joe Biden is president. So I acknowledge your point, but you know, the globalists are acting as if, and you know, they did the same thing occurred on the other side of the coin in 2000 with George Bush acting as if, and boom, you know, Gore won that election. But who was president? George Bush,
the problem there, Giuseppe, is that Jeb Bush was the governor of Florida, and that Al Gore made a tactical blunder by only asking for a recount of designated counties instead of the entire state. If he'd got a recount of the entire state of Florida, he would have been the president of the United States and not George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, one of the most malevolent figures ever astride the American stage, as we are confronted with today with others of a similar ilk.
Right.
Where, you know, there was an intervention by the Supreme Court there that improperly required the count to be ended and treated George W. Bush as though he were going to be deprived of something to which he were entitled if a suit went forward, which was an absurd presumption that he had actually won the election when that was not the case, but was merely begging the question. So I believe the situation we're in are dissimilar, but I grant you that there are reasons for talking about them and comparing them one with the other.
Understood. And like you said at the beginning of you taking over the reins to the Raw Deal, is that this is not over. And you're right. They're acting as if, as I said, but he is not the president yet.
That is crucial to the success of a coup. You try to propel events forward with such rapidity that the public doesn't have the opportunity to stop and reflect on what actually is the situation and whether or not this moving forward is or is not justified. Based on propaganda, you got all the newspapers declaring that Biden has won when it's false, because the election, the votes have not been certified, and the electoral, you know, college has not reached yet a necessary 270. When you have 94 electoral votes in play, it's not even mathematically possible that it should be resolved at this point in time. So, technically, if there were a huge landslide, and frankly, I believe Trump actually won, if it were a legitimate count, a huge landslide. I was on a show earlier today, well, the very Power Hour, with James McCanney, and he explained how he was asked on another show what he thought the vote would have been if it had all been legitimately counted. And he said 97% to 3%. Well, that may be a little exaggeration, but it would have been on that order. It would have been massive for Trump.
97-3. That's whatever medical marijuana James McCanny's using. I want some. That's 40% of the voting public has Trump derangement syndrome, and like we've joked over the months on Need to Know the Fetzer Report, our daily news commentary and analysis show on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, that Trump could figure out the formula to give puppies immortality. He could figure out a way to cure cancer, and people would still vote for Biden. I mean,
they'd still attack him. You know, Biden, people don't even know who they're voting for because this isn't the real Joe Biden. This is a substitute. This is an actor who looks a lot like Joe Biden, where James McCanny added the following very thoughtful observation, that he's had plastic surgery around his eyes and appears to have had some Botox injection to make him look more like Joe Biden. But where the other night when he came out at this bizarre situation where he had these red, white, and blue vehicles, all new Jeeps, it appears, none of which had anyone in them. They were all empty, Giuseppe. I mean, this was just another theatrical stunt.
To claim
that he has won the election, so you got a fake candidate making a false declaration to a staged event where no one was present. I mean, it's absurd. This is a guy who couldn't get a dozen people to show up to his rallies, as we have repeatedly reported in the past. The idea he would win an overwhelming election and get more votes than any presidential candidate in history is so absurd as to boggle the mind.
Well, it's gaslighting, Jim, and I'd be curious. We've got Dean with us. Dean, what do you make of this, watching this from England?
My opinion is that it's completely laughable. I mean, just the trends of how the votes came in, which every commentator has said until they're blue in the face, so I won't dwell on that. Everything looks artificial, the way the counts fluctuate and things freeze. I'd also say this. Now, this might be common practice, but the convenient timeline of when your election has actually begun, when the shenanigans have actually started. I mean, I went on to the US Supreme Court website today to look at their calendar to see what cases they're going. Now, on the 30th up to the 30th November, there's nothing to do with the election. Then I believe on the 11th, they're stopping for a holiday. And then that leaves you for any cases to be finished and resolved on the 8th of December. Now, with this much corruption, to actually fit in a full end of case investigation and everything, I'm not saying it can't be done, you've got a very narrow window until the typical official inauguration date. You know what I mean? It's very unfair for when you've got this much potential processing or corruption.
But what you're leaving out is there can be an emergency session of the Supreme Court, which I expect is going to happen here. It's not going to be just a routine calendar. So I think you're leaving out that contingency that I believe is, in fact, going to be activated here in the very near future.
And I think that is the point then. So I think, is it that we need, or I say we, is it that the Trump's legal team needs that to actually get the job done? Do you think they need that to be put in their favor?
Well, I think they're moving forward aggressively. Look, I think there are lots of surprises that are going to emerge here in short order, because Trump has had years to contemplate this threat to his continued administration of the American government. He has planned for this contingency, I have no doubt. And indeed, we have a report from Steve Pachinik that others are confirming that actually all the legitimate ballots that were cast have a watermark, of which the Democrats were unaware, so that when they were manufacturing fraudulent ballots, they didn't replicate the watermark, and therefore they're very easily segregated from the legitimate ballots. Plus, that blockchain technology has been used to track all the ballots so that the government knows where they went, who had them, their ultimate disposition, each and every one. As Steve Pachinik reported the other day, and I honestly believe Pechenik would never have said such a thing if it were not true, because it would completely destroy his credibility. Plus, and this was pointed out by someone else in appreciation for my bringing to his attention that Joe Biden, the guy who was on the debate stage, wasn't the real Joe Biden, but a body double, pointed out to me that Melania has been wearing a dress that has a blockchain imagery on the dress, which I believe is a further form of confirmation that this is indeed the case.
Yeah, I guess essentially what you need is at least two or three of those factors to pop up and actually be brought forward in the court cases. That's it. Because even if only some of them turn out to be, that's probably enough.
Well, I'm telling you, you got to have the legal resolution of the lawsuits that have been filed in these seven different states. And they're all the states that are going to make the crucial difference. Of course, we've also now discovered that this Dominion software was used to manipulate the votes in 30 different states, and where it turned out that in Michigan, a very astute county clerk observed that 6,000 votes had been diverted to Biden that should have gone to Trump. And that was in one county. Michigan has like 80 counties minimally, Pennsylvania 159. Let's just assume, since the same software is used in 30 different states, if each of the 30 states averaged 100 counties and each had 6,000 votes that had been improperly diverted, we're talking about 18 million votes that were manipulated, where it turns out that the chief executive officer of Dominion, the vote counting company, just turns out to be the chief of staff of Nancy Pelosi, and that one of the principal stockholders in Dominion is none other than the husband of Dianne Feinstein. So we can see the outline of very dirty operation going on here. And frankly, I think a lot of people are going to go to jail over this. This is a fraud, a criminal act of a very large proportion. RICO statutes are going to plug in here. There's going to be a whole lot going on in the aftermath. I know we're coming up to the break, my friend, so Giuseppe, let it roll.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. There is blood on the wire. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West. Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, the call-in number for the second hour is 703-879-8880. I repeat, 703-879-8880. We'd be very glad to hear from you. Talk about what's going on out here in the USA, which is pretty chaotic, but where I believe that the forces of good are ultimately going to prevail over the forces of evil, who are making many manifestations all over the board. I can't believe, my wife was just watching a report on MSNBC, and they were saying how there was no sign of any election fraud in the country. And even, I think, in claiming in Georgia that there were Republican representatives who denied the existence of fraud. Giuseppe, it seems to me this is unreal. I mean, this is an ostrich approach. The abundance and a compelling evidence of election fraud all over the country.
Well, I disagree. It's not ostrich. It's gaslighting that they are telling people who are over decades entrained to trust the great deceiver, which is the mass media. As we well know, former CIA director William Casey gloated in 1986, "We'll know our job is complete when we control every outlet of the mass media, which they have for a very long time. And so it's gone beyond control of the media with feeding propaganda. Now they are gaslighting, which is constant lying, trying to convince the American public that what they see isn't true. And it is just so evil, so criminal what they're pulling right now. And I'm concerned it's going to work.
Well, what William Casey actually said at that first staff meeting after Ronald Reagan appointed him director was, "We will know our disinformation program is a success when everything the American people believe is false." And we're pretty damn close to it, Giuseppe, as you suggest.
Right. There you go. Yeah. Yeah, it's tragic, Jim. I mean, we are witnessing this whole New World Order coup, and Biden is so into it that, you know, a puppet of it, that he named his transition website Build Back Better. And I have a graphic clip that I'll be, can share. In fact, I can, I'll do it in a minute. Of Merkel in Germany with a sign behind her, Build Back Better. Trudeau, Castro's illegitimate son, Build Back Better. Several other major leaders, all with the same globalist slogan. So
yeah, that's what you're telling me, is they're all elements of the great globalist movement, which is going to bring about the Great Reset.
Right.
Where you can get a guaranteed annual income and a place to live, 300 square feet and an energy allotment, if only you agree to their vaccination program and to give up all of your property and assets. I mean, Giuseppe, this is just incredible, the enormity of what's going on here. Shocking.
Oh, it's absolutely shocking. And here, I'm putting that for you and Dean to see. There it is. There it is right there. Check that out. All of them with the same BS. So, Dean, so you think it's what's going on in the U.S. is laughable. How do you see it all tying together with what's being done in England, what's being done in France, what's being done? I'm stunned at the totalitarian, brutally oppressive COVID machinations that are going on in England right now. Jim, we were talking a little bit about that, and I was asking Dean what the heck is going on, and will the people rise up? And we kind of got into it, but I'd like to hear more about that. That's just outrageous.
Yes, so would I.
Yeah.
So would I.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I haven't heard from Paul forever. There are lots of callers. We used to get Brew and Paul and, of course, you and Scorpio. Everyone out there, welcome to call in. Today's a great day if you got something to say about what's going on right here in the USA. Go ahead, Dean.
Well, unfortunately, as I said previously when I started to explain, the moment you try and answer that question, you get led into a massive trap. And that trap is this, and it may go over the heads of some Americans. The social engineering is so complex and highly parallel in the UK that it's hard to explain in a soundbite because it's so sophisticated. Every element is a spinning plate in their social engineering that if you explain it, you sound like you're paranoid. You can explain a couple of elements, like I did earlier about immigration, and I only got halfway through.
Dean, that's part of the genius. That's part of the genius of it. It's very similar with, say, for example, 9/11. If you start to explain what really happened, you sound like you're a little nutty. For example, to claim that no planes actually, none of the 9/11 aircraft crashed on 9/11 sounds absurd because people think they saw the planes crash in New York City, for example. But they did not. What they saw was what they thought was a plane, where it turns out that, for example, Flight 175, purportedly a Boeing 767, disappears its entire length into this massive building in the same number of frames. It passes its entire length through air, which makes physical sense only if a 500,000-ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to a flight of a aircraft in the air than air. I mean, it's just absurd when you get to look at it and take it apart in terms of physics. But Americans have such a weak grasp of science, they can see impossible things and not recognize anything about them is wrong. Just as in the movies, they have that willing sense of disbelief. Spider-Man, you know, spinning his web, Superman flying, Iron Man of all the absurdities, massive iron as though he could move around in space the way it's shown in these films. And when it looks at events which are actually supposed to be real events in real time, they cannot tell the difference.
Hold the line, Jim. You're saying Iron Man isn't real?
I hate to disillusion you, my friend.
The only way I can simply answer your question in a reasonable time is to actually give you categories. And I'll say this, and I'll focus on the immigration question that you asked me on, and I'll stop there with it. I will use categories. Here are social engineering categories that are all used in concert in the UK. Transport links, skilling versus de-skilling in industry-wanted skills, population placement, dragnet from countries that score high on certain domestic crimes, disproportionate advertisement of migration in unstable countries through charities linked with government leaders coming in as sponsors, such as Common Purpose. I mean, I could keep going, but it gets
are the lockdowns that we're being told are taking place in the UK actually taking place, where people are being treated very severely if they're not compliant with official directives? Bobby's beating up on the public and things of that ilk?
Well, it's a three-stage thing. They started off with fake models. Then they went with unclear, wishy-washy, using conditioning through uncertainty, which is an advanced rules on how the public should respond to the pandemic, this scandemic. Then they changed to a system that started at medium and went to very high, so there was no such thing as low in threat of the pandemic in your regional area. Then they scrapped that and went back straight back to lockdown. Then they keep changing which industries can open and can't. You see, they keep changing it all the time. Small business is just happy to be open. So all they simply do is just go, just wear a mask, just be quiet, just you know, move along with us. Just put a favor with that mask on, will you please? Because we just need to trade. We just need to make some money. You know? It's just a blind panic. It's just conditioning through uncertainty. It's constant mixed messages. It's any company that's now lobbying the government, because statistics have come out and certain industries have been shown in the public space to have this massive small percentage on how many infected people, quote unquote, or people that fail these tests against their industry. I think I made the example before. Hospitality is like 2.5% cases when the hospitality is opening. You know, it's a blip, small in the ocean, and when lobbyists go to the government and say, why are you shutting us down? We're 4.5%, that's it. They go, oh no, sorry, you've got to be shut down. And then they don't give them any clear direction of what's going to happen from week to week. And then they'll just go, okay, we're doing furlough for a little bit. Oh, but there's this other scheme for like retaining staff. Oh, we've put that on hold now. It might not come back. That might come back. You see, it's conditioning through uncertainty, even towards certain business. Unless you are a massive corporate monopoly or a big Amazon.com store, you're getting the short end, I'm afraid. You're getting punished.
Well, it's a grim situation. Giuseppe, your thoughts?
I agree with Dean's observations. I think that the buildup of this New World Order push, this idea to destroy sovereign nations and nationalistic governments and force countries to join into unions like the European Union and North American Union and drive it via this fear-demic. I mean, I am just astounded that the draconian measures they're going to convince people that the common cold is the greatest plague, the greatest nanoterrorist ever is. It's absolute, complete, and utter gaslighting bullshit. It's they released a pretty weak, attenuated bioweapon, that being the novel coronavirus, SARS-CoV-2, and 99.997% of all people under the age of 65 are immune to it, or if they get it, they recover from it. The combination of both, and yet now their goal, the Great Reset, to destroy the American economy, to destroy the Canadian economy, destroy European economies, England's economy. I mean, restaurants, shops, small groceries, boutiques, you name it, all going out of business. And now, amazingly so, in America, the Democrats and Republicans can't agree on a stimulus check for people to get them through this. So, the Federal Reserve has everybody's bank account number. We're going to come and be the white knight hero and talk about opening up Pandora's box with direct deposits of digital currency from the Federal Reserve. That is Pandora's box in real life.
Yeah, because it comes with all of these conditions.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you're going to be completely dependent on the government, which means a government can control every aspect of your life, because if you do not comply, they can cut you off, put you into a re-education camp, declare you to be a public health menace, or eventually an enemy of the state, and do as they may. I mean, we're talking about a completely authoritarian, totalitarian society that looks as though it's right around the corner.
Oh, absolutely. Well put, Jim. That's it. And so, Dean, what happened with David Icke in Trafalgar Square, and they were getting, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people rising up. And is that all squashed now that the English police have cracked a few heads and arrested a lot of people? Or what's going on with that, with the resistance?
My original point. Remember the illegal war in Iraq? There were huge protests against that in the UK. The numbers for those protests massively outweigh the protests on COVID, David Icke and Co., and it did nothing. In the UK, the only way it seems you can trick, force the cabal or in-control governing class to actually do anything for the people is to make them believe that they can kind of create a double-edged sword scenario where we either make a choice ourselves that goes along with them, and they say, well, you asked us to do it, so we'll never ask you again and sort it out, like leaving the EU, or any of your protests just don't work in the UK, I'm afraid. And also, when you want to put pressure on the government and get justice for something, it takes a very long time. Swift justice is gone. I mean, I'll give you one example. There were football stadiums, stands collapsed many, many years ago, and people were crushed to death. There was misconduct with how it was handled by the government and police, allowed that to happen in the UK, and many innocent people were dead. They didn't admit that for years on end after massive pressure, and this was a small fry thing. So if it's big like COVID, the only way you can seem to get anywhere is to actually trick them into getting you to make a choice. They think you're going to make the choice that agrees with them and then go the opposite way. and say, no, we don't buy your propaganda. It's really sad, but that's the way it's going.
Yeah, good point.
Well, the situation is pretty appalling, Giuseppe, all in all. Did you hear that reportedly he's going to the Supreme Court to request a day of prayer? I don't know why that would require going to the Supreme Court, but that was the latest.
By he, do you mean Joe Biden?
No. Actually, Donald Trump. That was what
he
is?
Huh.
Sounds pretty odd to me. Let's see if we can pick up anything new coming, you know, taking place out there in the world.
Oh, yeah, good idea. I mean, to me, the only reason he would do that would be the optics of the highest court in the land, if there is any justice, would be the Supreme Court ruling that I don't know what they would rule, you know, because they always rule on precedent, right? And what precedent will they – that? I mean, we haven't heard a peep out of the Supreme Court. We don't know which direction they're going.
Well, they don't have any case before them to assess yet, do they?
Right, right. No, they do not. Right, right. Yeah. But I think Trump would be wanting to go there for the optics that this is our last hope is the Supreme Court righting this criminal wrong. But I don't know, man. I don't know. It's so insane, the level of it all ties together, as we've discussed, the Great Reset, the new normal, the COVID, the nanoterrorist, the worst thing ever. I mean, you know, listeners who follow you definitely know it's a scam, but if there's anybody new tuning in, this is absolutely criminal to bring in the common cold as the new nanoterrorist, because it's everywhere. And the sad thing is when people take these vaccines, they are going to at first maybe it will work, but then the coronavirus, the common cold, will mutate and the vaccine won't be able to keep up with it. So what happens then? What happens then is that your immune system turns on the body. It's Dr. Judy Mikovits and others describe it as a cytokine storm. And that's literally where every part of your body, the white blood cells, the immune function, turns on the body and treats it as an enemy. Because we have trillions of virus cells in us. A great part of us are made up through the development of the human system. We usurped a lot of viruses as we grew into this, and they are functional in our body. So when you suddenly attack your immune function, the white blood cells, the monophages and the neutrophages and everything, when they suddenly attack their very own, everything inflames. You have the whole body going on fire, literally, and it's horrific, and that's how people are going to die. That's what happened with the Chinese, thought they had beaten the swine flu in 03 or 09, I forget which, and when the swine flu mutated, all of the test patients in the vaccine trials in China, which was somewhere around 200 to 500, they all died horribly, and that's what's going to happen again.
Well, Giuseppe, let's do a reverse engineering based upon Deagle, which is projecting that the U.S. population will drop from 330 million in 2020 to less than 100 million in 2025. Can what we are seeing going on here engineer the depletion of over two-thirds of the current living U.S. population? Can it work that effectively? Can that be the outcome?
Well, it's dependent on how many people take the vaccine. Right now, the realistic number of the population is somewhere between 20 and 30% will agree to take one of these unproven, untested vaccines. Jim, we've got a caller, a remarkably insightful and brilliant young new host, thanks to you on Revolution Radio. Chris Weinert and his new show, Brutal Honesty, is here. Chris, welcome.
Well, super, super, Chris. Hey, thanks, welcome. Give us
hey, Doc, how you doing?
Good, good, Chris.
Oh, man, I'm
glad to have you here.
You know, I don't know how much time do I got.
Yeah, well, we got plenty. We got a couple minutes to the break, and then we got another half hour.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Okay, I'll let it rip maybe a short one before the break, and then maybe pick up when you guys are done.
Yeah.
Perfect. Okay. I'm on the same page with you guys on the very unproven fears of these vaccines and the talk of being delivered in by the military. These are some interesting and dangerous concepts that, neither candidate has really ruled out and seem to be advocating for. So I have my concerns not only about this Biden takeover and this coup and this obvious election fraud, but the lockstep that's coming in after this, it's lining straight up with Agenda 2021 and a lot of other things that people have been freaking out about for many years.
Right.
I think you're right, Chris. I think you're exactly right.
Yeah. These coincidences, they just seem to line up in so many ways to so many in the same direction with all the big money. And this is an operation, I feel.
Completely. This is not any way organic. This is all planned. This is all synthetic, in my opinion. What do you think, Professor?
Well, what I'm trying to get at, Giuseppe, is this, would this be a causal mechanism sufficient to wipe out over 200 American lives? You know, the combination of mass, social distancing, all this nonsense. Is that going to be a sufficiently effective measure to take that many lives in that short a period of time, do you think?
Well, I think that a country that spends $500 billion annually on bioweapons could kill as many Americans as they want to if they choose to. Now, I don't think that will be the only way that Americans get killed. In fact, I looked at that Deagle proposal, and if you look through the other pages, they have similar dramatic drops in population for Canada, the United Kingdom, for Germany, for Israel. So it makes it seem as though Israel, the way I interpret that, but Russia, China, Iran don't drop very much. So it leads me to believe that the Israel gets its war with Iran, and then what happens is the allies of Israel get decimated, and World War III is won by Russia, China, and Iran and its allies. That's how I interpret those numbers.
Well, here we're up to a break, and then I want to turn to a couple developments today and get Chris and your thoughts about it, and those of Dean as well, of course. We'll be right back.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
She travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer on The Raw Deal, where we have Giuseppe and Dean and Chris together. I want to throw in a recent development just happened today. This is from HeadlineUSA.com, which looks like it's a very responsible website, given what I'm about to read. President Donald Trump fired Defense Secretary Mark Esper on Monday, announcing the news in a tweet, saying that effective immediately, Christopher Miller, the director of the National Counterterrorism Center, will serve as acting secretary. Chris will do a great job, Trump tweeted. Mark Esper has been terminated. I would like to thank him for his service. Democrats and their allies in the leftist media, joined by the ranks of several never-Trump resistance operatives, are trying to claim falsely that Biden has secured the presidency, flying in the face of precedent and election norms, with counting and legal challenges still underway. According to the National File, reports had flown that Esper was secretly helping the Biden transition team. But it isn't the first time in which Esper has undermined the commander-in-chief. There already was considerable speculation, even before the election, that Trump might give him the axe over past public attacks. CIA Director Gina Haspel and FBI Director Christopher Wray are likewise on the radar. Concern over untrustworthy advisors have been a particularly touchy matter for Trump throughout his first presidential term, following the attempted 2017 coup referred to colloquially as Obamagate. Obama and Biden helped orchestrate the plot with Obama intelligence officials to undermine the incoming president and his administration with knowingly false claims of Russian collusion that had first been commissioned as opposition research by the Hillary Clinton campaign. Now, that's the most straightforward, honest reporting I've read in ages, for God's sake. You won't get anything like that from the New York Times or NBC or CNN. I mean, my God, that's actually right on the mark. Chris, your thoughts?
Mute here. Sorry, I was muted. I think that is some interesting journalism that is finally coming to light here. I haven't really seen much journalism in the past 4 to 8 years, maybe longer, arguably decades, you know, from what I'm really starting to look at through history and what we're seeing now. How many times do you think that these type of election situations have been manufactured, whether it's the pollings or consensus management or optics management, suggesting even that a majority of people voted for Joe Biden or Hillary Clinton, two of the most reprehensible candidates in human history, arguably it has been done by the Wizard of Oz type effect that is being manufactured by the media, and very similar to the Russiagate thing, who arguably I'd say the DNC and AIPAC have more complicity involved with the DNC tampering in the primary for sure in 2016. The same thing's going on here with the exit polls and the deviations more than 2%. They stopped taking exit polls in the DNC primary in 2016. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that or not. You're probably more of Republicans, so maybe you're not familiar with this in your party. But as a lifelong Democrat up until this year, I voted for Trump, mind you. I've never seen this type of corruption, and I think you guys haven't either. And now that it's coming to light on the other side of the party, it's hitting you guys by the blind side. The DNC has been capable of this type of optic management and obvious disenfranchisement of the voting process. I think Joe Biden told the truth as well when he said he established the most elaborate voter fraud in human history. Or government. Whatever the quote was, what do you guys think?
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah. And I mean, this is a treason. This is actually a form of treason. And as I was suggesting to Giuseppe earlier, the party ought to rename itself the Undemocratic Party, because it's opposed to all the principles of the Constitution and of democracy for which the United States is supposed to stand.
They seem to be the party of inversion. Like everything they offer is a complete inversion. They're here for your safety. They're here for your health. They're here for, democracy. It's a total inversion. Sorry to jump in. I just said
Chris, you're
that's
right.
An excellent that's point.
Right. It's just massive bullshit. The party of bullshit and treason. That might be a nice summing up of the modern Democratic Party. Giuseppe, your thoughts.
Well, it's funny. In the 20th century, we've had two great parental controlling states for the American Boobus, as H.L. Mencken says, Boobus Americanus. In 2000 to 2008, we had the tough love daddy state where Cheney and Bush just didn't care about truth or facts, and they were going to prosecute these wars, right? And that appealed to the young, 6 to 8 year old maturity, spiritual maturity person who, American exceptionalism, we're the best ever, we can kick anybody's ass, right? And so now you've seen the pendulum of power shift to the nanny state, which is Barack Obama's 8 years, where everything, we're going to take care of you. You can't take care of your own health. You can't you got to love everybody. If that guy's coming at you with a knife or a gun, it's okay. We don't want police to, that's racist. We want social workers to calm him down. Yeah. Good luck with that. And so what we have though is two issues of pseudo parents that deceive the American public into giving away their power. If right now, if Democrats and I've been an independent for a long time, but always my family history as a small bleach business in Milwaukee for 50 years from the 30s to the 80s, they were all my ancestors were heavy duty working class Democrats. And to think they're like turning in their graves, thinking about what the Democrats have done to good people, working class people, middle class people now, because there is no Democratic Party, much the way Trump did his hostile takeover of the Republican Party to get elected in 2016. George Soros has done a hostile takeover of the Democratic Party. And now he is calling the shots, his ilk of the globalist build back better types.
Here's another one I want to throw into the mix. Auditor dismantles election red flags as audacious level. Well, it's the F word. When all the mistakes go in the same direction and benefit the same parties, they probably aren't mistakes. They're malfeasance, which is exactly right. Larry Corella, a prolific novelist, conservative blogger, and professional accountant based in Utah, uses mastery as a wordsmith to articulate the precise feeling shared by millions of Trump supporters who witnessed the Democrats' overt and seemingly systematic attempts to commit vote fraud in last week's election. All those little fraud schemes come in from various directions, except the fraud numbers add up quick in a tight race. Corella posted a post-election analysis Thursday on his website, Monster Hunt Nation. However, if you are behind by hundreds of thousands of votes in the middle of the night, it requires some audacious level effery, which brings us to a red flag you can see from space. The task has now befallen a host of truth seekers in the conservative media and the eyewitness accounts of volunteer poll watchers to counter a massive gaslighting effect in the mainstream media, which seeks to persuade the populace that Democratic candidate Joe Biden already won. Those declarations violate every precedent and an election norm, not to mention Democrats' own past insistence to count every vote and to let the process run its course. But faced with unparalleled turnout on Election Day from Trump supporters, Democrats who had since at least last March plotted to ramp up their election-stealing strategies using mail-in voting were forced to call an audible. When Trump pulled ahead in the Midwestern swing states by what were starting to appear to be insurmountable amounts, they suddenly threw the brakes on the counts. But while scrambling to compensate for having underestimated the Trump turnout, domestic Democrat pollsters proceeded to get more and more reckless. Drawing on his accounting experience, Corella said that the mass voter fraud was not unlike an insurance scam in which small mistakes all built on one another to establish the larger case. When you're auditing, you see mistakes happen all the time. Humans make errors, he said. Except in real life, mistakes usually go in different directions. When all the mistakes go in the same direction and benefit the same parties, they probably aren't mistakes. They're malfeasance. I think it's very good. He's got a very good analysis here. This, again, I say, is Headline USA, which is, to me, an underutilized resource. I'm very impressed with what I'm seeing here. It's well-written and it's accurate, which I cannot say to be true of 95% of the American press today. Chris, your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you on that. I wanted to add a couple more points to kind of to add to what you were saying before, even about these guys are all in on it together. Like you say, with the treason and the trade, the eugenics, the COVID scam, the insurance thing, the pensions being gone, the 401k indexes being tied to this, you know, World Economic Forum business model, build back a better burger or whatever they got going on, or all in on this together, whatever the crap they got happening. It's almost like a two-party theatric that's being created through the CFR and the trilateral to forge in this UN agenda. And I think that really what they're doing, you know, like they did with the War of Terror, these are all Gollum enterprises, which are arguably phantom menaces at best, being fabricated by the mainstream media and the deep state. And none of these entities are ever held to account for any of these behaviors. And it's almost like humanity has the memory of goldfish and they just move on. And really, I've never seen such a vitriol develop for a president in any history that I've studied in the history of this country or anywhere else, really, throughout time, where the media has been so focused on dismantling any positive aspect being offered by the Trump campaign. And I almost think it feels like a script, you know, like a wrestling script. And you know, and you're right about consistency and the mark of stupidity. It's certainly, you know, those things, they don't go hand in hand. They have to err on the side of humanity from time to time if they are, in fact, legitimate. And you're 100% correct, Dr. Fetzer. And as a man who's really stood in there in the trenches fighting for the truth, I admire, you know, your fortitude, and I'm right with you, knowing that the media is here to gaslight the people that see through their bullshit.
Here are some of his further thoughts, Chris. He warned that the legal battle was likely to be even worse than the 2000 dispute between George W. Bush and Al Gore, which ultimately was, in my opinion, improperly settled by the Supreme Court. But apart from confirming the illegitimacy of Biden's claims of victory, Corella, like other Trump backers, came up short in predicting the final outcome. What happens now beats me, he said, noting that Trump would depend on conservative jurists and his political allies continuing to resist the immense pressure from the left to overlook the facts and the law in the interest of convenience and stability. I can say without hesitation, though, that effery is afoot, and if an actual real investigation happens, they'll be able to prove it. Only this is politics, so who knows, he added. The only thing I do know for certain is that this election is so effed up, it's just going to make America's two halves hate each other even more. And I say now, if Steve Pachenik is right about the use of BitChain with watermark ballots of which the Democrats were unaware, I think the proof is going to be relatively easy to establish, and it's going to shock the entire nation, in particular the whole Democratic Party, have fallen into a trap, if that what Pachenik is telling us is correct. Would you agree, Chris?
Well, Jim, Chicago Brew has joined the call as well.
Oh, terrific, terrific. Brew, why don't you go ahead, and then I'll come back to Chris. Brew, your thoughts.
Steve Pachenik is only half right, and it's blockchain, Jim. Blockchain, the blockchain, crypto, digital currency, blockchain, things that are digitized on the block that can't be erased. But anyway, Pachenik is about half right. They do have it's graphene. Graphene in the ink, graphene that can be tracked, graphene that they put in your food, they put in on ink for books and other things that they do to be able to track through technology and so forth. When people think watermarks these days, they think of, you know, that little spot that comes out on certain, like maybe you can't use certain photos and, you know, unless you pay for them, because and then they got the watermark on them, you know, certain things like that. But that's old tech. People realize that spycraft and technology is so advanced these days that there's so many things that we don't even know about out there. So when Pachenik drops his drop for whatever reason he was allowed to, whether to put the scare into the enemy or put confidence in us, he did it, but he only did it halfway right. Look, there's so much to unpack with all this. I only got a few minutes here, so I can't even begin to start. But with Chris Weinhardt here, look, he's right about the parties, except it's been a uniparty. They've been the Democrats and Republicans. There's been no difference except by name for decades.
We're engaged in a mammoth fight between the Democrats and the Republicans. It doesn't do any good to say they're one and the same. I don't think it's true. I know you think there are powerful forces in the background. I want you to explain this blockchain stuff, Brew. We need that. Tell us about the blockchain.
I can't look again. He's only half right, and it's just too much to unpack there. And look, it has to do with there's so many things. There's Hammer. There's Scorecard. These are names you're hearing. Hammer, the computer program software. Scorecard, the computer program software. This stuff goes back to 2004, where they've been altering.
Yeah. But that's how the bad guys are playing it. I want to know how the good guys can unravel it if they can.
Let me tell you what the good guys are doing today. Donald Trump, what he did while he's been in office, he separated. He recreated the Republican Party. He actually separated them from the uniparty. You know Newt Gingrich said that. Why do they hate Donald Trump so much? Because he's not one of them. He's not part of the club. That was Donald Trump. He's always been the accidental president. That's why they hated him. That's why they needed to get out of there. That's why, you know, HRC was supposed to be it, Donald Trump being the accidental president and so on. We know about the primaries back in 2016 when they stole the primaries from Bernie Sanders out of 13 states. They stole it from Hillary Clinton. They were doing the same thing during the 2016 presidential election when Donald Trump was there. And they said, stop. That has to do with Operation Hammer and Scorecard, best that I know, because they were able to flip votes in real time on the TV screen. As you're looking at it, they're able to flip and change data on the screens and whatnot. That's what was going on today. What you are seeing today, what is one of Donald Trump's greatest achievements? He has exposed the fake news. He's exposed the corrupt media. And now today, this whole exercise we're going through right now, he's letting you see with your own eyes how they have corrupted the voting system. And he's showing you, he's letting you see with your own eyes how corrupt it is, and he's letting them pull their own pants down, and it's all going to get cleaned up. We already know what they've done, when they've done it, from Barack Obama to the Bushes to John Brennan and all his cohorts. We got tapes. We got documents. We got receipts. We got so much they have pulled their pants down. Because if you got anybody thinks here, since Donald Trump was elected, that he wasn't prepared for this day, that they were going to try and steal it after a fake impeachment, after a fake Russian investigation with no evidence on anything, that they weren't going to try and steal the election, you're wrong. Today, you're seeing it. He's exposing them like he's exposed so much else. Go ahead.
Oh, Brew, that's just what I wanted to hear. So you think Trump is on top of this? I think he's on top of it. But I'm having trouble convincing some of my friends. Even Giuseppe isn't sure that Trump's on top of it. Chris, what is your take? Do you believe Trump's on top of it?
Well, I do agree with Brew that it is probably a more complicated process than we'd like to believe. And I would think that, I would have to say he's probably got a card up his sleeve or two. I wouldn't think he would be blindsided by their shenanigans, you know, knowing what they've done, not only in the 2016 primary, but in the national as well. One thing that I question and I want to point out is when this was happening in the DNC primary in like March of 2016, the big networks were like covering Trump, giving him like $2 to $5 billion in free media and advertisement to clear out the 19 candidates in the GOP and mulch with them. I mean, he was going on like talking about his friends and Trump stakes and all these things. And they were not showing any of the results in Michigan as Sanders was up by like almost 400,000. And as I say, it was a late dump after 10:45 p.m. The polls had been closed for 45 minutes, 200 and some odd thousand votes in a row come in for Hillary Clinton and Sanders loses votes. So, I mean, like, I don't know how that happens. And I hear the same phenomenon going on with this Trump thing in other states around the country now as what happened in the DNC primary as 2016. So I'm not surprised by this. I bet it's a Podesta war game scenario, maybe. And I bet they're trying to push the crypto and the defense of the election still to this day, foisting it on foreign entities and not domestic ones. So I think there's something to be talked about with that. And you know, this whole Russia thing is a fabrication to cover up for the DNC. You know,
I think the fact that Trump was getting publicity was in part an aspect of the Democrat strategy. They thought mistakenly Trump would be the weakest candidate and the easiest for Hillary to defeat when it turned out to be the opposite.
I really thought they could invoke him, like excite him, you know, like piss him off or work him up and embarrass him. And it never worked. It backfired on him completely. I agree.
Yeah, fascinating. Go ahead.
They actually thought Trump was going to be the easiest candidate for Hillary to beat. That's why they helped him pick off the rest of the candidates on those stage that year. Go ahead.
Yeah. Isn't it fascinating, Brew, how that blew up on him completely, 100%?
Well, the reason it blew up on him is there the so-called silent majority is nationalist and populist, decent people all over the flyover states and intersparse like fat in a good piece of a good aged steak, even in the major cities. So they Trump, who is like the most unlikely nationalist or populist, gave all those people hope. And that's how Steve Bannon, who read that early on and had Trump make all these populist and nationalistic statements in his campaigning of 2016, brilliantly understood that was an untapped path to victory when no one else thought it was.
Oh, those are wonderful comments, Giuseppe. Yeah, who would think that a billionaire playboy from New York City could turn out to be a great populist nationalist president? I mean, it's unprecedented. It's wonderful. And we love him for it. I'm just so impressed with this guy. Man.
Hey, can I jump in on this for a minute? I was going to add to this that, you know, the Trump phenomenon and the national phenomenon are two things that are definite potentials in terms of political momentum. And even the word on the street, people know. I mean, I was out shopping today and everybody that I talked to, they knew this is rigged. They knew that there's some serious stuff going on. So I don't think that they get away with this, especially with them trying to deliver this vaccine in the way that they're talking about and all these things. There's a ton of issues they're going to have to get to January from now. So yeah, I don't think it flies. I really don't. I think that this is like a war game scenario where they're going to just see by social media and Cambridge Analytics, you know, who's going to do what. And you know, maybe it's to try to provoke a civil war, like you were saying, possibly. So, I mean, maybe that's part of it. They're talking about a depopulation. If you look at World Bank memos for like our population expectations in 2025, you know, they've been they're talking like 1 in 6 are going to make it. So, I mean, like that's a pretty staggering number. And I mean, they are pretty much on target with their money and with their body counts. So I'd have to really think they know something we don't.
Well, I love all these comments from you, Chris, and from you, Brew. I think that's wonderful stuff. And it all sounds right to me. I know Giuseppe remains a bit skeptical, as does Scorpio. They both, I think, believe that the opposite has too many advantages. But honest to God, I think this is also blatant. and that every damn American really knows this is all complete bullshit, phony, and another effort to get Trump. I think they spent too many times trying to get him out of office on phony, fabricated grounds, and it's easy to see that this is just an extension on a larger scale of what they've been trying to do for the past four effing years.
Crying wolf, you know, and you can only cry it so many times, right?
Yeah, it's unbelievable, Giuseppe, go ahead. Dean, is that you?
4 years, we have been able to see all the people come out of the woodwork that you didn't know that they were rhinos, or they pretended to be a good guy, or they came out from the background, the woodwork. They came out and they exposed themselves. We know who these people are. And now, once again, under this guise of this Biden, Kamala Harris winning the election, you see even more. You have now seen Fox News pull its pants down and pull off their cloak of a disguise to say, hey, we're really with Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden. Look at us. This is, again, we got more exposure. That's what Trump has done over the last 4 years. He's let these people pull their pants down, expose them. More people lost their jobs, careers, posts, so on, their reputations, because they came at Trump, they took their shot, and they missed over and over and over again. And they're doing it now. The higher they fly, the more they celebrate, the more they're going to get deflated and depressed, and the harder they're going to fall. In midair, we're swooping them out of the sky as they try and push this. As it's been noted, more people voted in particular states, counties, and so on, that were even living in the counties.
I know. It's absurd beyond belief. And, you know, to confirm your estimation about Fox News, they fired Jeanine Pirro, the judge Jeanine, because she wanted to talk about voting fraud. How outrageous is that? That disgusts me. I thought Fox News at least was actually trying to get the truth out, and now they have completely thwarted and stained their reputation forever. It's disgusting. Well,
Jim, you have to understand that Fox News was a true conservative bastion, as much as one can be in the mass media under Rupert Murdoch. But his children, who now run it, are globalists, and they are absolutely in the Clinton, Obama, Biden camp. And it's stunning to see, in short order, any of the old guard are going to be all gone. And I think they're even going to cut their throat and get rid of Tucker, too.
Giuseppe, I want to thank you for keeping the show afloat in my absence. I'm so glad Dean called in. And Brew and Chris have made sensational contributions here, which I find very heartening. Some in terms of principles and larger scale practices. Brew and Dean even observing interaction personally with everyone, knowing what the hell is going on. I'm greatly heartened by this conversation today. I can't thank you all enough. Just terrific. And Giuseppe, once again, thank you for stepping into the breach. You did a great job.
It's an honor. Honor to support you.
Real pleasure. We'll see you once again. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope to see you then. We'll talk with you then. See you then. Thanks again, Chris, Brew, and Dean, and Giuseppe especially.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.